We do have a nice crowd today. Good afternoon, everybody. And yes, we would appreciate your prayers for our daughter, our son-in-law. We were talking to Jennifer recently, and she passed on that information. And she should be watching today, so hi, Jennifer. And Mr. Cimino said happy birthday to his mom's, well, Jennifer's second daughter's birthday is today. She's a whopping 18. If only I could remember when I was 18. Not so lucky. Well, the title of my split sermon today is Yield Ourselves to God. Yield ourselves to God. The word yield means to surrender something with deference, to give way to someone or something. Now, I want to approach this topic of us yielding to God because the world being deceived is yielding not to God, but the God of this world. But they don't realize that because of Satan's deception. You know, yielding can be voluntary, or it can be a reaction or something forced upon a person. Well, there are many synonyms that relate to the word yield, such as to grant, to relent, to succumb, to bestow, to allow, to permit, to surrender, to relinquish. And when we're directing this towards God and His Son, Jesus Christ, these words apply where we want to yield ourselves. We want to permit God to be in our life, to do His will, to do His words, to keep them as part of our mind and our heart. But there's an opposite to the word yield. And some of these synonyms, such as deny, to refuse, to oppose, to strive. And we can see where Satan, being opposed to God's way, matches a lot of these words. But there are times, another word is resist. Well, what are we to be doing? We're to be resisting Satan and his ways. Granting acceptance in our life each day for God's purpose to be done. But also certain other synonyms to the word yield has an agricultural relationship, such as produce, to produce, fruits, harvest, crop. And we know as first fruits, we are called to yield to God's Holy Spirit that resides in us, is given to us after baptism. We repent, we're baptized, and God's ministry ministers laying on of hands, God's Holy Spirit is given to us. And by that, as a result, we're to be producing the fruits of God's Spirit. The more we yield to God and His Holy Spirit, the better spiritual fruit we produce. And that is a wonderful gift. I will be reading certain excerpts from Mr. Kubik's recent memo that he put out during this message today. And on his personal president memo, page 2 of 3, Mr. Kubik talks about the fruits mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. And I quote, "Here is a sobering thought. Ever wonder what can keep you out of the kingdom of God? That is a sobering thought. Paul specifically warns with the answer in Galatians, and I'm still quoting from Mr. Kubik's memo. These traits are nothing short of deadly. We should really pay attention to these, such as sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties. And all of this came from Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. We should realize that we do see this around us, but what we need to be paying attention to is any of this a part of us? And if so, we need to seek God's forgiveness, go to Him, have Him cast it from us, as far as the east is from the west. And as I said, the world is deceived. We see this all around us in life today. But we're not to be part of that. Still quoting from Mr. Kubik's memo, he says, we must honestly review these carefully and prayerfully, asking God to remove these from us and to spiritually heal us. Go to God. We cannot accomplish this on our own. We have to go to God, to rely on Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, to direct our steps. Mr. Kubik says, on the other side of what I just talked about, Paul tells of the behaviors, the emotions, the state of mind that bring many blessings, God's blessings to us. We are indeed the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he quotes 1 Corinthians, let's turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. The verse begins, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? We belong to God. God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and this should and will describe the fullness of our lives. Again, speaking of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. We are to continually be working to retain these, to build these within our belief, within our everyday, our very being. And those are love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits that our basket is to be full of, our hearts and our mind. Each and every day we're to be striving to produce these various fruits. Mr. Kubik says, like a young tree, the fruits may be small at first, but God is patient. God is very patient with us. As long as we continue to strive to move forward in this life. Well, is our life predictable anymore since COVID-19? Are you able to predict day to day what you're wanting to accomplish and if you will get to accomplish that? As an example, your morning routines, are they the same as they were a year ago, or have they changed? Due to COVID, due to the pandemic, due to the ways of the world, all the stresses, distractions, you know, when we wake, what we eat, and the time we eat, the weekly routines that we go through, the work routines, has this stayed the same? Is it still predictable? Or have you been impacted? And if so, if you've been impacted, how are you applying yourself with these impacts? But most especially, your prayer time, your study time, your meditating, your fasting. This pandemic, a lot of people have said, well, it was a wake-up call. It's really caused us to step back, rethink, refocus. But not everybody has. They just work around it. Yes, it happened, but it's not going to stop us. Well, it should not stop us from constantly going to God and seeking Him, seeking His advice, seeking time, and possibly allowing us to have more time to go to God than we were in the past. Another quote from Mr. Kubik's memo. He says, God helps us avoid a trap of self-deception when we observe His holy days. Self-deception. We should not be looking to ourselves, being deceived, because Satan will take advantage of that. He will twist and turn every knob that he can to get us to move away from God. God helps us to avoid that when we observe His holy days. It says we can be blind to personal flaws that are obvious to others, but they're not obvious to us. We're blind to it. But God, who sees everything perfectly, and He quotes Proverbs 15, verse 3. Let's go to Proverbs 15, verse 3. God sees everything perfectly. So in Proverbs 15, verse 3, we read, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding, watching the evil and the good. God is always watching. Continuing, God sees everything perfectly, continues to direct us toward life-giving change. And that's what we should be doing, going towards God, not away, not stagnating, but constantly growing, moving towards God. He directs us towards life-giving change. In Romans chapter 12, another scripture that Mr. Kubik referenced here, Romans 12, starting in verse 1 through 2. As I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. We have to be very careful each day of our life not to conform to this world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to be proving. God called us. We're to be proving that we're worthy. We're not worthy. It's a gift that God tells or gives us, but we're to keep working towards that goal. God wants us to succeed. He did not call us to fail. While we're in Romans, let's go to Romans chapter 6. God does the calling. And we are so thankful for that. In Romans 6, verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. You are not to go the way of sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. God has called us out to be a part of his family. And your members are as instruments of righteousness unto God. In verse 16, the same chapter, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. And that's where we said earlier, we are to yield to God, not yield or conform to this world of Satan's way of this world. We are to stay away from that, come out of that. Because if we're servants of sin, whether of sin unto death, because the wages of sin is death, or of obedience unto righteousness, we're to be obedient, we're to be yielding to God. In verse 19 of chapter 6, Paul speaking, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, unto uncleanness, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, which we do every day. We're to be yielding our members, our very body, our heart, mind, and soul, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. That's what God has called us to. Another quote from Mr. Kubik's memo. I mean, there's just so much information in this memo dealing with God in his upcoming holy days. Another quote, starting before Passover, we recommit to daily surrendering every corner of our lives to God the Father in Jesus Christ. Now we keep saying every day. Don't miss out on that opportunity, that time with God, every day of our life. Because we all realize, the older we get, those days seem to just snap by, fleet by. So it's very important for us to stay close to God every day. To daily surrender every corner of our lives to God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Honestly examining our hearts helps us resize ourselves spiritually. As Paul wrote, we can freshly understand and yield to the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You can make reference to this as Romans 6, verse 23 was referenced in his memo. When it says honestly examining our heart, as we said earlier, there are things that we're doing that are hidden from us because we just don't see it. That's why we should be asking God to show us where we need to improve, where we need to get better in life, to draw closer to Him. In James chapter 4, verse 7, we'll go to James chapter 4 and verse 7. We read, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Yield yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We don't want to be resisting God. We want to resist the devil. We want to make it into God's family. We don't want Satan to twist and turn our ways, to get a foothold, to cause us to go backwards. We want to continue going forward. You know, for those that are coming from the south, services on 39, there's a yield sign where 39 merges into 301. But when you see a traffic yield sign, what comes to your mind? Is it mainly the physical meaning of what that yield sign is telling you? You know, that you really should obey the traffic laws, or you're going to suffer the consequence if you don't follow and obey the traffic laws. Well, I have found that it doesn't have to be a yield sign. It could be any sign. But when you start putting a spiritual aspect on just everyday things that you see, whether it's traffic signs or whether it's just anything dealing with traffic, it really brings the best out of people. Not really. Start thinking from a God spiritual aspect of this and how it applies in our life, and how we're to yield to God, how we're to follow Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. Stop signs, how we're to stop sinning, how we're to push away, with God's help, the worries of this world, that fruit basket of Satan's rottenness we're to cast out of our life. Now, since I retired, I really haven't had to deal with that many yield signs. I mean, we have the one here in Zephyr Hills, and I have one in Bartow. And that's pretty much it, yielding. But that's not the way we're to be in our life, our spiritual life. We're not to just go down the road of life and say, oh yeah, I need to be doing this for God over here. No, that's the constant daily reminder for us to be going to God, seeking Him, seeking His way in our life. Not occasionally going by and saying, oh, yeah, it's been a few days, I better talk to my Father. Well, we need to do a lot better than that. Because when God had called us, if you would turn to John chapter 6, especially with the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread coming up, we need to really be examining and focusing on these topics. John 6, verse 44, Christ speaking, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." You know, when God called us, we accepted that calling. We're so thankful of that calling. And when we learned that we needed to repent, be baptized, and receive God's Holy Spirit, that was the most significant commitment we made in our life. Just the significance may have not have been understood 100% at that time, but we knew that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to go on the path that God had set before us. You may consider it as a simple ceremony, but it powerfully acknowledges a profound change in our heart and mind, a yielding to God. And whether it's just been a year ago, a few months ago, years ago, we need to continue remembering why we're here. A new life that we have embarked upon, being called by God to be a very part of His family, and to be fully yielding to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and our Father. That importance that God has placed before us. We need to keep revisiting the purpose of why we're here, why we should be examining ourselves, why we should be partaking of the Passover services, why we should be keeping God's holy days, and the purpose and the meaning of those holy days. You know, a sincere study of God's Word, coupled with a strong desire, to yield to His will, it lets us see within ourselves the selfish desires that dominate our behavior and reasoning. We're not perfect. We still have desires. We have reasoning. Our mind wanders. We have to bring all of that in control through God's Word, God's help. And in the days ahead, another quote from Mr. Kubik's memo, he says, in the days ahead, let's be openly and frequently asking God. Don't be afraid to ask God these questions. What do I need to know about myself? What do I need to change in my life? Our own personal self. To directly ask our Father to help us become a better Christian, producing spiritual fruit as you follow Jesus Christ. Our heart and mind must be constantly yielding to the love for God and love for our fellow man. God calls us to be His children. God initiates a change in us. He wants to see that change. We must be willing to change by the renewing, daily renewing, and daily changing of our minds and our heart to be more like God. A process to which we must be yielding ourselves to each day. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, starting in verse 1, verse 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, you yield your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I feel like I've already talked about this scripture, but I'm repeating it again, so if I did, just it's worth repeating. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, not being conformed to this world. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians 3, verse 8, because again, we need to be working on ourselves, realizing there are areas in our life that we still need to clean, to cleanse, to put off. Verse 8 of Colossians 3. But now you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of unity, perfectness. We need to remember to always yield to the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, to have that fervent desire for humility, to be humble. We are to be careful of our reactions to those around us, not be vengeful, not to be callous, but to be yielding, accepting, loving. We're to be using our time wisely to bring glory and honor to God, our Father, and Jesus Christ by yielding to their will and love. We're not to go the way that's talked about, if you would, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. We're not to go this way. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're not to go that way. We're not to follow that type of path. But we're to do as it says in Matthew 24, verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42. We are to watch, therefore, Christ speaking here. We're to be watchful. Watching always, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. We're to be ready, we're to be prepared. And if we continue yielding to God, we will be there. Now, bringing this to a close, there's at the end of Mr. Kubik's memo, he talks about each day leading up to this coming Holy Day season, ask God what He wants you to do today. Each day is important to God and should be important to us. And then we're to ask God to help us to do what He wants us to do. Ask God how you can better walk with your daily life with His Son. Mr. Kubik says, it seems simple. But it will have profound results. These are good results. He says, this season be a believer. Believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Believe what He says. Believe in what He does. Believe in His role in the coming kingdom of God and everything that this means. And experience your best Passover yet. And if we yield to God, we will. I'd like to end this with reading, and really, Mr. Wendt puts out the weekly Something to Ponder. I mean, it's a message in itself. And Mr. Wendt, we're very appreciative of these updates every week. But I want to do a little excerpt from his Something to Ponder here to close this message. It says, think about all that our Father and Jesus Christ have planned out, which is a wonderful plan. It touches each of our lives in an amazing way. We were created for the purpose of becoming the children of God. For now, we are made in His likeness on a physical level, but God is preparing us to enter the spiritual realm. And God bring that day. As we ponder the deep significance of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, we must never forget that our incredible potential is because of Christ's death. Our incredible potential is because our death penalty has been paid in full. Yet we have a part to play in this process. As Christians, we've been asked to submit to the authority and laws of the Most High. All of us have areas to improve, to improve in. And our goal should be to grow and overcome. Here again, to grow, to overcome. So we are pleasing to the one who gave us life. So let's be pleasing to God. Let's yield ourselves to God each and every day and continue on that path. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.